Okay, back to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I'm taking the title for the message today from what is said in verse 32. Acts 13, verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. That's the same as saying good news. We declare unto you glad tidings or good news, how that the promise which was made to the fathers, God hath fulfilled everything he has promised. I like what Joshua said just before he passed away. He said, of all that God had promised, not one word has failed. And that's so. That's still so today. We declare unto you glad tidings, or we proclaim unto you good news. Good news. Now, for the last 2 months or so, we've heard a lot of bad news, haven't we? We turn on the TV, and if you're like me, I guess the older folks watch the news. The younger folks watch something else, but sometimes we get too much of an overload on the news, and there's a lot of bad news. It's time for some good news. The wage of sin is death. Bad news, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is good news. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed good news. But you know, it's not good news to everyone. But it is good news to sinners in need of mercy. And sinners in need of salvation, it is indeed good news, glad tidings. Let me give you three scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is the faithful saying. This is 1 Timothy 1:15. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, just like you, just like me, sinners. And Paul said, I'm the chief offender. I'm the chiefest of sinners. Second scripture is Matthew 9, verse 13, where the Lord said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repentance. If I can find a sinner, I can tell him some good news. And then the third scripture is Luke 19, verse 10, where it said the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. The lost. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, is just the Savior that we need. One sent of God to accomplish all salvation for us. He sent of God who accomplished all salvation for us. And he did this by covenant promise, by the decree of God. Notice verse 23, Acts 13, verse 23, talks about David being their king. God said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. Verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. God raised up the Savior out of the house of David, just like he said that he would, according to the promise of God. And his word, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, my word will never pass away. Now, that's a quote from Psalm 132 that's given there in Acts 13. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body, I will set upon thy throne the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ indeed is Messiah, who was sent of God, and certainly he was a man after God's own heart, the greater David, who indeed fulfilled all the will of God, accomplishing our salvation. Remember, our Lord said to those disciples, my meat is to do the will of God that sent me and to finish his work. And then he prayed in John 17, Father, I've glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. And then we know his last words on Calvary's tree. He said, it's finished. It's done. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is good news to sinners, is Christ who finished the work for us. Now, we're not trusting, now this is not a play on word, but we're not trusting the finished work of Christ. We're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, who finished the work for us. We're trusting Him, who accomplished all salvation for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is just the Savior that we need. He's just the one that we need. He is the just one Son of God. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem those that were under the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That's Galatians 3:13, Galatians 4, verse 4. He is the just God and Savior. There's none else. He's the only just God and Savior. Therefore, our Lord says, you look to me and be ye saved. I'm the just God. I'm the just one. I'm the only Savior. And He is indeed. He is a Savior who is God, our Savior, who has all power to save you. Now, how much power does it take to raise a dead sinner? It takes all the power of God. And we only believe the gospel according to the working of His mighty power. You see, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. He's able to save to the uttermost because God given Him power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as those that were given to Him in that covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior that we need. He's God our Savior. He has all power to save you according to His will, His purpose, who has all wisdom to direct you and lead you and teach you. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to be taught of God, because the Scriptures teach all those who have heard and learned of the Father, those who were taught of God, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ and rest. You see, He is the good shepherd who leads us in the way of truth. This is the very Savior we need, who has all mercy to pardon you. Wouldn't you like a complete pardon for all your sin? Where is that found? It's found in Him. And it's according to His mercy, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He has all power to save you, all wisdom to direct you and teach you and lead you. He has all mercy to pardon you. He has all grace to justify you. How are sinners justified? They're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all righteousness to clothe you. Now, how good do you need to be to stand before God accepted? As good as God? Well, preacher, how can that be? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. God gives His people that blessed, perfect righteousness, who is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the Lord our righteousness. He has all power, grace, mercy, wisdom, all righteousness to clothe us. God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And He has all goodness to supply your need. I had on the radio program this morning, our God shall meet, supply all your need according to His riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a need you have. I'm poor and needy, but there's not a need you have that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't fully meet to the standard of God's absolute perfection. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything this sinner needs to stand complete and accepted in before God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says, Ephesians 1, we're accepted in the Beloved. All goodness to supply your need. The Lord is good, who has won the victory for us. Thanks be unto God. People say all the time, religious people say, are you getting a victory? I'm not trying to get the victory. I've already won. Thanks be unto God who has given us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you living the victorious life? No, He did. He's my substitute. I'm resting in Him. He's the Lord, our righteousness. We we count everything else lost that we might win Christ and be found in Him. He's won the victory for us over sin. He put it away. He's won the victory for us over death. He said, I'm He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And He's the one who cannot fail. He's the Savior, the Redeemer, who cannot fail. How do I know He cannot fail? Because the Scripture says, Isaiah 42:4, that He cannot fail to accomplish all God's purpose. Salvation is of the Lord, completely, totally, from election and eternal electing grace all the way through time to eternal glorification. Salvation is all of grace. Grace alone. What's the message of this ministry? Salvation is of the Lord. He has accomplished salvation for us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, given us in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is God our Savior. Remember, the messenger from heaven said, give Him a special name. Call His name Jesus. What does that mean? Savior. He shall save His people from their sin. He is a Savior who saves. He is a Redeemer who actually really redeems. He doesn't try to redeem. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't die to make salvation a possibility. People say, well, He died to make salvation a possibility, and you actually make it effectual to yourself. That's not so. He accomplished salvation for His covenant people. It's all finished. He's a God who controls all things. All things in creation. He's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in providence. And He's sovereign in salvation. He will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. He's working all things after the counsel of His own will, after the counsel and the purpose of Him who worketh all things after His own sovereign will and purpose. Even in this pandemic, I've never been through a pandemic. I don't think any of us here have been through a pandemic, unless you were born back in 1918. So we've never been through a pandemic, but even in this pandemic, God rules all things. He supremely rules and reigns absolutely over all things. The first cause and the last end of all things is of God. God is working His will, His way, His purpose in this world, always will, always has, according to His own right. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Yeah, and all that God does is right. There's an interesting article I ran into that's in your bulletin today. It was written in 1930 by an old writer, A.W. Pink, and you can read it later. But it was written in 1930 during or after or through when that depression time was going on. And he said, even though the world is panic-stricken, God still reigns. God still controls. He's not upset. Things are not out of control. God's in control of absolutely everything that goes on in this world. Everything. He's either the absolute sovereign God or He's not. He either governs all things or He's governed by someone. God is God. I love that statement. God is God in all the earth. Period. Of Him and through Him or to Him. Romans 11:36. Of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory both now and forever. And then the Holy Spirit says, amen. And God's people say, amen, it's so. Now, that's my introduction. Beginning at verse 24, down through verse 27, we have the gospel, the good news, the message that Paul declares unto those Jews that day in the synagogue, and it's relative, and he's preaching that same message to us this very morning. When John, he said in verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel, God's elect, a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. John was sent of God to declare the Lamb of God. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, John fulfilled his ministry. You remember how he died? It wasn't an accident. He was put in prison and his head was taken off because God said that's how it would happen, and it came to pass. The Lamb of God, John's message, his mission and his message was, "Behold the Lamb of God." And when his ministry was over, God took him home. God took him home. The Lord Jesus Christ, John declared, the Lamb of God is the only atonement that sinners have before God. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and that he sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sin. John's message was not salvation by repentance or salvation by baptism. John's message, his message, was salvation accomplished by the coming, the doing, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, the surety, the everlasting covenant, the sacrifice for our sin. True repentance does not put away sin. True repentance that's given of God does acknowledge that salvation is of the Lord. That's true repentance. True repentance agrees with God and gets myself guilty. Salvation is all of God. Believer's baptism does not put away sin. Believer's baptism is confessing the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished salvation and put away sin by his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And in believer's baptism, we confess Christ as all of our hope in salvation by the grace of God. Look at verse 27, 28, and 29. To you, verse 26, men and brethren, the children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is this word of salvation sent. It's sent of God. The word of salvation is sent of God. What is that word? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You who fear God, beginning of wisdom. What is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Man by nature doesn't fear God. If you have a reverence in your heart to fear God, it's because the word of salvation has been sent to your heart. God has sent the word of good news to your heart. Verse 27, they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember they said, he's a winebibber, he's a devil, he's a gluttonous man, away with him. We have no king but Caesar. And Pilate said, what am I going to do with this man? Remember what they said? Crucify him, crucify him. They knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets. What was the message of all those prophets? You remember Acts chapter 10, verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness. They knew him not. They read the prophets, they read Moses, Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all these books, the law and the prophets. They read them every Sabbath day in the synagogue. They read them every day, but they missed the message. And they fulfilled them in condemning him. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. These most religious Jews had the Old Testament Scriptures, which they read and studied every Sabbath day. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they studied the Scriptures every day, but they missed the message. What is the message of the law and the prophets? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in him crucified. Christ is the message. Christ, his person, who he is, and Christ, his work. He is salvation. Salvation is in a person. Remember Acts chapter 4, verse 12, what Peter confessed to those Pharisees that day? He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Our Lord said to those Jews in his day, in John 5, 39 and 40, You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, but you won't come to me that you might have life. Life and salvation was standing right in front of them, and they did not see him, blinded by sin. Verse 28, and though they found no cause of death in him, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Peter said on Pentecost, you have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. Though they found no cause of death in him. Remember, even Pilate said three times, I find no cause of death. I find no fault in him. Yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. Now, why did they do that? They did what their wicked heart wanted to do, right? They did what their evil, wicked, sinful heart determined to do. But you know what it says? Remember we studied in Acts chapter 4, verse 26, 27, 28, where it said the Jews and the Gentiles were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ to do whatsoever God determined before to be done. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. You desired him to die and to be slain. And when they had fulfilled, verse 29, all that was written of him, they took him down from a tree, took him down from the cross, and laid him in the grave. The Lord Jesus Christ died as the sinner's substitute for his elect, his church. He loved the church and gave himself for it. The just one dying for the unjust. What it says in Peter, 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Now listen to this. Listen to these two things. The cause of his death was our sin being laid upon him. The guilty must die. Christ suffered because he took our sin willingly to himself. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The cause of his death was our sin. He had no sin of his own. He personally committed no sin. But the scripture said God laid on him our iniquity, our sin, our transgression. Secondly, the cause of our justification before God is his blood atonement. Now, how are sinners justified? We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned this earlier, but I want you to listen to this carefully. The Lord did not die. The Lord Jesus Christ did not die to make salvation a possibility. He did not die to make an effort to put away sin, nor did he die to make salvation a possibility for all men if they would only meet certain conditions. Now, that's not the gospel message. That's not good news. That's another gospel. That's another message. The good news of the gospel is when we were yet without strength, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ made full atonement for our sin. Therefore, we can conclude the Lord of glory did not die in vain. There's no one in hell for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. That's exactly right. He said, all that the Father giveth to me, they'll come to me, and those that come to me, I'll never cast them out. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Not one sheep of Christ can perish for whom Christ died. He died to make the absolute certainty of their salvation. He is called the surety of the covenant. He's a guarantee of our salvation because he honored the law of God and he satisfied the law of God in his death. Christ crucified is all our salvation, delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. We stand complete in him. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand complete. Now, he dies for our sins. You remember our lesson from 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, how he was buried, how he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, Acts 13, they took him down from a tree, they laid him in the grave, but, I love these two words, verse 30. Underscore these two words, but God, but God, but God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. But God raised him from the dead. Now, you look through the Scriptures when you see that word, but God, but God. He paints such a dark, gloomy picture of what we are by sin, by nature, by our sin, dead in sin. And then it says, but God. Who made you to differ from another? But God. How come you believe the gospel and others don't? But God. How come you love him and others hate the Lord Jesus Christ? But God. I am what I am by the grace of God. But God raised him from the dead. Now, how important is his resurrection? The Apostle Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 15. If he be not raised from the dead, we have no salvation. If he be not raised from the dead, we're yet in our sin and we've lied on God. Because we've said God raised him from the dead. You see, his resurrection declares everything that he said is true. His resurrection declares that he is the one Son of God, made of a seed of David according to the flesh, but raised again the third day to declare that he is the Son of God. A declaration that he is the Son of God, his resurrection declares that in Romans chapter 1. His resurrection is a complete, clear declaration that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Made, yeah, in his humanity through the lineage of David, but declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Secondly, his resurrection is a full declaration of his complete and successful atonement for our sin. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of God. What does that mean to us? Success. It's finished. It's done. His resurrection is the full declaration of complete, successful atonement that he made for our sin. I often say this. His death was not an attempt. He didn't make an attempt to put away sin. We don't have an attempt. We have an atonement. Full covering. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of God. Done. When the work is completed, you sit down. It's finished. And he sat down and we sat down in him. His resurrection is a guarantee of covenant mercies, guaranteed in the Lord Jesus Christ, certain and sure. God raised him from the dead, seen of many witnesses. Therefore, we declare to you glad tidings, good news, verse 32. Now, go all the way down to verse 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he said, because of this, I will give you the sure mercies of the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I like things that are sure, don't you? All the Word of God is certain and sure. All the promises of God are certain and sure. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we have sure mercies. David said this on his deathbed, King David, God had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and it's sure. This is all my hope, and this is all my salvation. That comes from that quotation there from Isaiah 55, verse 3. I'll give you the sure mercies of David. We have in the Lord Jesus Christ the absolute certainty of salvation, forgiveness, redemption, the pardon of all sin, our justification is absolute and certain and sure. He says so. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. David, King David died after he served his generation. They put him in a grave and his body corrupted back to the dust. Verse 37, but he whom God raised up, now think about this, he saw no corruption. His resurrection is a declaration of covenant mercy, certain and sure. His resurrection is a declaration of his absolute lordship in heaven and in earth. David, they laid him in the grave. Turn back here. Let's read that. Let's see if we can find that. Turn to Acts chapter 2. You remember from Peter's sermon on Pentecost? This Jesus, Acts 2, verse 32, verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of his resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. For this Jesus God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which he shed forth, which you now see and hear, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a declaration of his absolute lordship. You see that, verse 36, Acts 2. God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Romans 14:9 declares, to this end, to this purpose, Christ both died, rose and revived that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. He's every man's Lord. Now, I'm going to quit with this. We'll pick up here next week, Lord willing, verse 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Not through the law, not through your morality, not through your repentance, not through your baptism. What does it say there? Through this man, the God-man mediator, the one who died for our sins according to the Scripture, the one who was buried, the one who was raised again the third day, the one who ever lived to intercede for us, seated on the throne of God. Through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of most of your sin. All our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. I need full atonement. I don't need a partial atonement. I need a full atonement. And that's what we have in Christ. By him, verse 39, all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. I love that scripture in Galatians 2, verse 21. If righteousness come by the law, Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified. In the Lord Jesus Christ, all the elect of God are justified forever freely by his grace.